We are coming down to the last couple weeks of the Giving Back, Building Forward campaign. Come together and make individual commitments toward the shared purpose to reconfigure and expand our facilities. When we started all of this, I kind of dreaded it. I think most pastors do, actually, for being honest. Oh, we're going to talk about money. People can get prickly about that in church. Oh, we're going to talk about building buildings, and that's always fraught with tensions that are practical, theological, and missional. What if we don't make it and we fall short of the goal? Those are some of the pointy-eared hamsters of problems that turned my mental wheel of anxiety when we started. And it's not to say they aren't legitimate concerns. They're worthy of consideration. But I will say this whole journey, it's been really rich. The leadership that stepped forward from within the congregation has been so strong and so positive. The testimonies we've heard together in worship, and I've gotten to overhear from folks just sharing, it's been really beautiful, and I'm just so grateful. One of the early steps in the process was to create a simple logo that could be used throughout the campaign and communication. Again, another one of those things I sort of dreaded doing, and then some of our super talented people put their hearts and heads together and designed the image of our church with a vine growing within it. And as if that vine is at the heart of the church. And it's simple and it's lovely. It's very well done. Next with our gospel reading for today. Today's gospel shows us Jesus at the Last Supper. He knows his death is close at hand. It's the last time he's with his disciples. And so what he wants to say carries extra weight for them, for John the gospel writer, and for us. It's here that Jesus wants to impress firmly a fundamental truth in his disciples. Even when he will no longer be physically present with them, they will be able to be united with him in a new way and carry on the mission they've shared with him to this point. If, however, they lose unity with him, they become sterile and even harmful to those around them. And to express this reality, this way of being united with him, Jesus uses the image of the vine and the branches. This is the seventh of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world, and so on. This is the only one of the seven that also includes a you statement. I am the true vine. You are the branches. Jesus is the vine, and through him the very love of God is passed to the branches. We are the branches, and Jesus wants us to understand the importance of remaining in vital communion with him. Faith is not a performative act done from our own strength or our own will. We don't, or rather, we should say we simply can't muster the strength to live as if we're Christians when we do so disconnected from the source of our life. But we are able to be united with Christ and share in his redemption. But if we lose unity with him, we become sterile and even harmful to others, even when we're busy doing all the good things. In another I am statement, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We only walk the Jesus way and live the Jesus truth when we share the Jesus life. When we remain in Christ through prayer and attention to the growth of our faith, we enjoy and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. the fruit of union with Christ is profound. Our whole person is transformed by the grace of Christ. Or we should say, our whole person is being transformed, because it's not a one-time thing. We don't suddenly become a fully flowering vine. There's growth in seasons, and sometimes there's pruning that needs to happen. Pruning is one of the themes running through the passage here. Because pruning is part of this passage, a lot of people, when they read it, their eyes lock in on that part of the passage immediately. They lock in on the part of the branches cut off and tossed aside and burned up, and I think their eyes go to it so quickly because their ears have had a fill of it from red-faced preachers who pointed to this passage as they warned them of the wrath to come if they don't receive Jesus or stay faithful to him. The truth is, Jesus does speak to what happens when we're off on our own. We don't produce fruit, we wither, we die. The disciples themselves would experience what that feels like within just a day of this message, which is probably why it was so important to remember. Just a day later, they would not remain with Jesus in his time of agony. They would flee, and they would never forget what that felt like. They saved their lives, but for a little while, it was as if they had lost them. And that's the whole point of this image. For the branches, the vine is the source of life and strength. There's nothing more important than abiding in the true vine, clinging to it, drinking deeply from it, holding on no matter what. The vine, Christ, is the one and only source of life. Everything else flows from that relationship. Have you ever come to a point where you said, my spiritual tank is empty? I think it's the same experience. It's just that we identify more these days with the picture of a car running out of gas and being stranded on the side of a road than we do the actual life of vines and branches and soil, which is a loss, because vines and branches are a picture of actual life. And because the vine Jesus speaks of is a grapevine, which grows grapes, which make wine, which Jesus had just shared in a profound way with these same disciples. It's a picture of the church's life shared in the Eucharist at the table of our Lord. That too has everything to do with the spirit of this spring's campaign and all that happens from here forward. When our consultant, who by the way has been a tremendous help, when he asked early on, what's the goal? And we said, well, to reconfigure and expand our buildings. He said, no, that's not the goal. He said, okay, this is one of those leadership things where you have to give the deeper answer. We said, well, the goal is to be more hospitable, to provide space and safety for our children, to give youth a place to meet, and have a long-awaited, larger place to gather for meals. And he said, nope, that's not the goal. All right, what he really wants us to do is just get real practical. We said, okay, fine, the goal is to raise $2.4 million. That it will take to build what we're talking about, or at least raise $1 million so we can afford the cost it will take to finance the remainder. No, he said, that's not the goal. All right, that got annoying. Hold on, you work for us. How do you know what the goal is? Mr. Financial Campaign Consultant, you tell us what the goal is. He said, the goal is to be a happy, healthy church once you've done all those other things. He was right, of course. Just as in everything, everything is about being connected and staying connected with the source of our being. Ends never justify the means. The process is just as important as the outcome. And at the end of the day, a church isn't about buildings, though they can be hugely important. And it's not about fundraising, though it takes funds to do anything like this. And frankly, as a spiritual practice, learning to give generously is just as important as what it's being given to. He was reminding us there's two ways to go about something like this, as I suppose there is in life. Get hyper-focused and anxious about the outcome and destroy everything in its path, including yourself. Or stay rooted in the source of your life and being and let whatever comes flow from there like sap rising through the branches of the tree of life. In our icon, the vine within the picture of the building reminds us that while a building can be like a living thing and can be a place where life together and life in Christ flourishes, a vine is a living organism. And there's never just one branch. Branches are all intertwined in the web of life. The branches of a vine, a grapevine if you're in the Middle East, a kudzu if you're in the South, they all intertwine. You can't easily pull them apart. I think that's the point. They're united as one. Some of those vines, branches threading through will bear more fruit, some less. But each one is instrumental to the life of the whole, and that's each of us. 1 John speaks of all of this as abiding, and speaks of all of this as abiding as love. Let us love one another because love is from God. And then that most remarkable of sayings, God is love. God is love in just the way that God's Son was sent, that we may live in Him and His love flow through us. In this we abide. In this God abides in us, and His love is, we pray by grace, perfected in us. By this we know we abide in Him and He in us. The vine image is so beautifully spiritually rich because it speaks to the essence of our very being. We have one priority before anything else, a priority that flows into everything else, to abide in Christ. So may His life, His resurrected life, flow in and through us in these days, in our homes and families, in our work and vocations, in our service and mission, in our giving and receiving, in all things. May our lives bear good fruit. May the harvest be plentiful. May our cup overflow. Amen.